I want to read something from Revelation. And I want you to understand, the reason we haven't studied Revelation yet, except in small parts, is because you have to see, before you can understand the book Revelation, you have to see that the kingdom of heaven is within you. You're not talking about external phenomena. It's talking about a battlefield that's going on in here, which is only in type seen in the world. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Okay. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. But they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death.
So different hearing that now. It's so different. You know, it's just.
The kingdom of God is within you. The warfare is here. And now we've seen that there's no more place for the dragon and his angels. Amen?
Amen.
Now. What's the manifestation of it? How is this operating now? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony, in Revelation 20, the word of our testimony is what? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen?
Amen.
And they love not their lives unto death. For thy sake we are delivered all the day long as sheep unto the slaughter. Now, why was Jesus powerful? For one reason, he was able to discern at all points between soul and spirit. Now, the fruit of having the pillars and groves destroyed in you is that you will now be able to discern between soul and spirit. And that means that you will resist not evil.
Not strive against flesh and blood.
You will resist not evil. When you resist something, you give it power. The kingdom of this world, all sensory perception, all value systems, all everything in time and space, is rightly the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air. The only way he's defeated is if you give him his right due, which is what? Your death. Faith says at your death, resurrection is manifested automatically. That's what it means that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Agree with thine adversary quickly. I've kidded you about what that means. You agree with your wife, or you agree with people in their arguments. That's not what it means. You have one adversary. The way the power of the evil one is destroyed is by you agree with him. You've presented your body the living sacrifice. You resist, not evil. Now, for the first time in your lives, you can do that because there's no system in you that goes about to establish its own rightness.
Yeah. Yeah. We just say, you're right, I'm all screwed up, and I'm dead. I'm gone.
Harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. The reason that you are powerless is because for all these years you haven't been able to discern between soul and spirit. And the evidence that you haven't been able to discern between soul and spirit is that you've always believed you were an independent self. The reason you have believed you were an independent self was because of the engravings on the pillar. As long as the pillar was there, you could do nothing but say to God continually, why have you made me thus? Why have you put me in thus situation? When the pillar is destroyed, you can now say, as the song says that John wrote, or I don't know if he wrote it or not, but you are the potter, I am the clay. You understand that the arena of the body and the soul, the soul is your emotions, your mind, your reason, the things that you perceive with. As long as you seek to establish and save your own life, thereby establishing your own rightness, there's no life. Because I don't care if you're in Jesus' name for the rest of eternity, as long as it's you in Jesus' name, you are as nothing. Because what you are doing automatically is seeking to save your own life. The reason you have spent these years seeking your own life, and I'm not trying to overemphasize this, but it's the power of the false idols, the false identity that you've been worshiping. The power of that identity came forth in the pillar. And your true self is only resurrection. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, we were talking earlier that for most of you, you've always connected, no matter how spiritual you try to be, you always connect the word faith with getting something. Understand? The just shall live by faith. Therefore you think, okay, if I have faith, then I can get something. Well, that's all right for the child, but what we are really literally doing is overcoming the evil one. And so that false independent self that sees need, therefore sees lack, therefore has to be a hypocrite, therefore can only live by the leaven of Herod, is being destroyed. The rest of it is that you will then automatically live by faith. The prince of the world cometh, Jesus said, the prince of the world cometh and has nothing in me. Big time statement. Totally misunderstood. How was he defeated? God turned over. Remember, he said, when Satan took Christ up in a moment of time and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and their glory, and it was of all time, all kingdoms, all value systems. And Satan said, all this has been delivered over to me. And to whomsoever I will give it. Jesus didn't deny it. Jesus agreed with him. But he saw through it. Resist not evil. You never again have to be right. Can you understand the freedom of that statement? Mm-hmm. You never again have to be right. Mind blowing. Agree with thine adversary quickly. You have but one adversary. There's only one lie. The lie of the independent self. There's only one lie. You agree with him quickly. Present your body the living sacrifice. You're presented as a sheep to the slaughter. Victory is there. Why? Because you've sought not to save your own life. If you don't have any pillars, then the deception is gone. Because you'll never, the pillar, that which is engraved on the pillar, is what forced you to continually walk about attempting to establish your own rightness. To justify yourself.
Is this an that question type thing, or are you?
You can question me now.
Is what we agree with the adversary on the fact that yes, we are independent selves, and then we also agree with God that that's dead. So I mean, there's a way to agree all around, and you end up dead, right? Is that what you're getting at, or? I mean, you don't resist the whole idea because you know it's true. Is that? I was saying.
Well, you try to. The point of it is, you try to resist. Yeah, but stop a minute and think. Remember again, this is why I wanted everybody to see that terrible movie, but because of the one scene in it, not Nightmare on Elm Street. What you resist, you affirm, and therefore give it power. I'm not talking about. Obviously, the external stuff. I'm talking about in here.
But how do you resist the devil and he'll flee from you?
What's the only singular way to resist the devil?
Don't believe what he said.
Wrong.
Let him be right.
I am crucified. He's right.
Yeah.
Let's internalize this a minute.
So if I see that I'm the chief of sinners, then anything that the Antichrist can accuse me of.
He's right.
He's true.
Right.
Right.
You're a
hypocrite.
You understand?
You don't argue with him.
But
he has no power.
But it has to be deeper than that. It has to be to the point of you thinking you should be different than you are.
Amen.
I mean, all of the stuff with regard to externalizing, you know, is obviously. I mean, if you visualize the process as. If somebody calls me, you know, I don't care what they call me. I agree with them, and they're right. I mean, even in the natural mind, I know that, but much more so in the spirit. There's nothing that I could be accused of that I'm not guilty of. You understand that? The problem is, I mean, that's sort of kindergarten for what we're about. Now, the problem is internally. The problem says, well, the one that is most prevalent in at one time or another is that my body should be different than it is. I should gain weight, or I should lose weight, or I need to watch what I eat, or I need to work out, or I need to change my hair color. If you agree that you should or shouldn't do this or that in any domain, then you're the propensity to agree to do this or that in your mind, to acquiesce to that accusation, because there couldn't be an agreement, there couldn't be a thought that you need to do this unless there was first an accusation. The question is, where did the accusation come from? Well, we just saw it came from one place. Now, where did if I agree with that adversary and thereby say, you're right, I need to change, I need to stop using caffeine, I need to stop smoking, I need to lose weight, I need to be different, I need to prophesy more, I need to be more spiritual, I need to read the Bible more, I need to study the Bible more, I need to pray more. Any I need to, or I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't masturbate, I shouldn't be a fornicator, I should or I shouldn't, then you have resurrected the soul and the body, and thereby made the cross of Christ of none effect.
Well, I thought we were going to agree with that.
What do you agree with?
That we shouldn't do that, or that we ought to.
Now listen to me. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I thought this would be the case.
I want to.
Sure. What the agreement that you agree with your adversary quickly is that in your mind you haven't brought that thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. You've so shortened your arena that you can prove anything. In time, in a let's okay, in time I need to lose weight. So I see, okay, then I can go through, I need to lose weight. But that's not really his accusation. His accusation is, you are a separate entity and should be different than you are. Remember that what I'm trying to get to you is the arena so that you no longer confuse soul and spirit. Right? In any arena, if you resurrect soul, the reason you resurrect soul and soul power is because, and the power of it is based on the pillars. There's no question. But they just emphasize the one singular thing, which is the lie of separation. So if I acquiesce in any should or shouldn't at any given moment, then what I'm saying to God, why have you made me thus? Here's the arena of the arena that is confusing is that what our minds automatically try to resist an accusation by some other means than the cross. And therefore, many walk, of whom I've now told, who've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. Now that's the line, that's the dividing line. And if you resist, if the process comes against you and says, you're too fat, now, if I acquiesce to that and say, you're right and I need to lose weight,
oh,
then I have fought. I have given back the life that was crucified, and I have fought by some other means than that which was spirit, namely, you're right, but I'm crucified. If I say that, if somebody says to me, you shouldn't smoke, if I and there's all kinds of evidence in the world that says I shouldn't smoke, if I acquiesce to that, and therefore you're right, I shouldn't smoke, smoking has absolutely nothing to do with it. The real battlefield that's ongoing is that you've resurrected that which is dead. So when I say to you, resist not evil, agree with thine adversary quickly, I'm talking about real agreement.
You don't resist soul with soul.
No.
You resist soul with the cross.
With the cross.
Which is really, the cross was total non-resistance. You know.
My point to you is that you must accept whatever it is that comes against you that you perceive as Satan's, as evil, as Satan's right. And don't resist it.
So then what? Okay, you do that. Or okay. That sounds like a law or something. But, all right, I should lose weight. I agree with that? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Agree? No.
You agree that you're fat.
But you're crucified.
You're crucified.
But you're crucified. It doesn't make any difference.
Then you just do whatever you want to do.
This is like taking the cross.
Oh, I see.
Deeper. It's like down to where we really live, because when you start thinking about doing something that you have a very strong opinion is going to kill you, you know, and all the opinions that we have about diet and what's good for you and what isn't good for you, and putting all those opinions to death.
Well, you remember the predicate of this was that for most of you, faith has to do with getting something. Okay. So therefore, you've taken faith and put it into the realm of the soul. And so therefore, it's almost impossible to talk. You can't, I mean, that's why nobody understood Christ. He never answered their questions. I mean, he'd somebody come along and say, and he'd come off of something off the wall. It sounded like it didn't mean anything. Now, it doesn't matter. It makes absolutely no difference whether you're fat or skinny or smoke or not smoke or anything. That's not the arena. To agree with thine adversary quickly says, what? How to get, you know, the only thing I can think of right now is the example, because you give it to me. I smoke. Therefore, if I say I smoke and therefore I shouldn't smoke, therefore I need to do this, this, and this, then I haven't agreed. Because the second half of that I smoke is I smoke and therefore you are, it hurts your self-esteem, it hurts your image in other people's eyes, it hurts the ability of people to hear the doctrine because you smoke cigarettes or any ad nauseum. Or I'm fat, therefore it's unhealthy, I might cause a heart attack, it makes me unattractive to my wife or my husband, ad nauseum. People always come around. I mean, remember the first time that you and I ever met, or you first heard. In one way or another, the only reason you continued to come is because you thought you would get something. You thought your quote-unquote soul, life, body would be improved in some way, that you would find a mate, that you would find understanding, that you would find a God, that you would find or get peace, that you would get anything. Okay? There was something there was something there that caused you to come back the second time. No matter how much I preached the cross, no matter how much I told you that you're dead, there was still a part of you that thought that you would be improved by coming here. Now, unfortunately, there still is. And it's evidenced by the fact that when things didn't go like you thought they were, or should, whether it would be in marriages, or in your business life, or personal life, or whatever it is, that for many of you, you either publicly exclaimed it or secretly thought it, you blamed me.
Occasion.
Huh?
Occasion.
Yeah. Now, no matter how much I said that there's no such thing as learning, there's unlearning. Tonight, you're in your mind, you're trying to learn something. You can't do it. So you're trying to take what I'm saying and do something with it to improve self.
We want to have a little sentence that has blanks open. You know, when the devil says this,
right?
You know, I say this.
Now, what I'm talking about is something that you already know. You already know that the only power that Christ had was he totally and completely didn't resist. Internally as well as externally. Now that's hard to believe. But you somehow know it. Because it's the mind of Christ. Though he were in the form of God, he thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God. But he emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Now, if I sit here and preach and you think about pillars, even in the, and it's all right to do it, I'm not condemning you. Now I've seen the secret. I want my pillars destroyed, then I'll be happy. Aha, I've got it. Now I want my pillars destroyed, then I'll be able to pray. You always continually attempt to gain something to save your life at every juncture. And God understands that. I get pissed off sometimes, but God understands it.
When you're saying this, I'll have my pillars destroyed, and then it's again. You're always just one, even if you're just one breath ahead of the moment. You're out of faith.
Amen.
And you don't know what's going to be the next moment, and if you project any image of what of anything,
right,
of how anything's going to be, you know.
So we've gotten to the point now where rather than just hearing what you've said and knowing that that's sufficient, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what you've said and plan the next time an accusation comes how I will react to it, rather than saying God is sufficient.
Right. The moment you do that, you have resurrected the soul in the first place. So to talk any further about the discerning between soul and spirit is a futile exercise.
I think, like I see the hope in this, that the next time it happens, you will not have to say, oh, this is where I'm supposed to say I'm crucified. You will see that you are crucified.
Amen.
It'll be vision. It won't be programmed response. And then you can rejoice that, aha.
Yeah, I don't want any programmed responses. I mean, there's nothing that makes me sicker.
Well, it sounds like this is a time to count on what you hear, you will see.
At the appropriate time.
But you, when we go through this, I can hear the wheels turning.
Not mine.
Hopefully,
I shut down.
We hear him.
Here's something I can do
Well, I guess you're trying to understand what faith is creates program responses.
Well, but it's the your fundamental evil that causes it.
I'm evil.
Well, no, I mean, you aren't, but you're the chief of sinners.
I am.
But to try then from that predicate to try to come to understanding, you know, then you will automatically become an enemy of the cross. I'm saying, and so what is why do we preach then? The only reason for preaching is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, to turn from self, not to sit around and figure out how I can use this at the next time a stimulus happens.
I know you've confused us into abandoning self, right?
You can just come out and say this at the first
one. I will abandon it. I'm not going to try to think anymore.
In other words, this lesson was over 16 minutes after it started.
Yeah. No, that's what you do, though. See, it's great because, you know, he holds a little bait out here and all our little cells go, and then comes out and says, look, all of a sudden, take a good look.
Here's the good.
While the little current thing is sticking its head out, there you are. And we go, oh no.
We're like a bunch of evil fowls. Okay, from now on, we understand this.
Understand it. That's good.
In your true self, in the soul, is understanding, reason, emotions.
Various forms of good.
In the true self, there's knowing.
John says was right. You know, all this pillar stuff leads you into a new place of self-seeking.
Yeah.
And now's the time to hear what's been said. There's still no gain to the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Still.
But we've crossed over into a great new territory that appears, aha, now I get more goods than ever before.
And that's why I'm talking about it, because I got phone calls and everything, and it's just another thing that could be taken to flesh. Let me read this again, what I started out with. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death.
I thought of the picture of Joshua and coming in and, you know, and doing this kind of stuff, pillars and Canaanite gods. And to turn back to self, at this point, you end up in a worse situation, because that's what they did. They ended up in a worse situation, really, than they were in Egypt. At least in Egypt, you were serving, you know, this is the head, you know, the greatest civilization on earth, and at least you're kind of a part of it, even though you're slaves. But when you turn to self, at this point, you're serving the Canaanites, you know, we were just, or
dinky.
Philistines, or, you know, they just the...
It's a dinky little...
You know, and then, I mean, what they did, they got progressively worse. Finally, they were serving, you know, people like King Saul, who go around, you know, it was like your own worst image of yourself or something, you know, and at every point they did. They'd fall back into self-seeking, but they were at a whole different place. They'd gone so far.
Yeah. We think we're eliminating the evil self by what we're doing, but it continues to come up with new ways to trap.
And that's why the cross has to go ever and ever and ever and ever deeper.
Yeah.
Continually. So that you will be in a position where amen.
Amen.
By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Otherwise, you glory in a little. Okay, now this is another little thing we can do. We can abandon ourselves. We can you know.
Cast down imagination.
Yeah. Now, no. But it's all a cross.
Somehow or another, this whole thing has left me in a real turmoil about the end result of everything, you know, as far as I don't know that I really thought that my life was going to be all that much better. Like, all I've been hoping for through this whole process was a chance to get past all the idols that I have control over me, because they make me sick when I see them.
Okay, but
if I go back to not seeing them,
okay, now stop at that point, please. Don't forget what you're going to say, but stop at that point. Your true identity is already free of all the idols. The spirit is already free of all the idols. It's already complete. It's already done. It's already finished. You are set. You are complete in Him. You are seated with Him in the heavenlies. There is no separation. It's all finished. You're already there. Now, okay. Now finish your question. You were hoping that you would be able to see through the idols.
I want to see that it's all finished. I mean, I want to see it. And this has always been my problem, is that you can say these things and sound great, and I really think I believe them. You know, but they don't have any power. I mean, because they're all, you know, they all just sound great. I want to really, you know, I wanted this thing to work because I want to see beyond the idols. I want to see beyond being stimulated and doing something, you know, stimulate and do something, you know. And I, frankly, I want to see beyond the hard things, you know, the things that piss me off, having fights. You know, there's something to be gained in this, and I'm, you know, because I don't want to fight with you. I can still fight all this is over.
But here
I'd
what
like
you
to
just,
see beyond just a few of those.
Okay, but hear what you just said. I find then a law. You want to do good, i.e., see through the things, stop fighting. Whenever you want, I find then a law, when I want to do good, evil is present with me.
Yeah.
Okay? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the battle is enjoined. When I want to do good, when I want to feel better, when I want to have stop arguing, when I want to see through the idols, when I want anything, I find a law. Hear what Paul said. If I want to do what I'm not doing, i.e. sing through the idols, if I want to do what I am not doing, then I am agreeing. I'm agreeing that it is no longer I that do it.
Because the desire is pure.
But sin that dwelleth in me.
That gives me the answer that I was hoping for, that I hadn't seen, is that it's not to do something, it's to stop wanting it.
Well, no, it's to have to see that is, that sin that dwelleth in you is destroyed.
Yeah.
Rightly.
Yeah.
Not, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God. Other gods besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. What the hell does that mean? By thee only will we make mention of thy name.
Through his spirit?
Where's that from?
Isaiah 26.
Faith of Christ.
Yeah, but it's like, it's that every one of those previous pillars, the only way that they will lose their power, those previous lords, the only way they'll ever lose their power is when you see they were of God.
And we'll attribute them as such.
Otherwise, you will have repentance with regret.
When I want to do good, evil is present in me. It's because I want to change in the way I perceive the natural. Is that the evil?
Well, it's because the pot is saying to the potter, why have you made me thus?
Okay. Well, that really does. I was going to ask.
Don't read that whole passage.
You have an amplified translation?
Translation is, it's a wild passage.
Let me have one of those. Do you have that? You have that where's that Duncan Bible with the?
They didn't have
the parallel Bible.
The parallel.
It doesn't have the amplified.
Well, I don't want.
As long as it had something.
Well, no, let me get the amplified. Again, remember the whole basis of tonight's conversation is the discerning between soul and spirit. Okay? We know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, carnal, having been sold into slavery under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe. Now, if I do what it is contrary to my desire, that means I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, and that I take sides with it. However, then, it is no longer I who do the deed, but sin which is at home in me and has possession of me. For I know that nothing good dwells in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I can never perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is good, but no power to complete it. For I fail to practice the good deeds that I desire to do, but the evil that I do not desire is what I am ever doing. Now if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it, but sin which dwells in me, mixed and operating in my soul. Fixed and operating in my soul. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to its incessant demand. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my innermost self. But I discern in my bodily members, in the appetites of my flesh, a different law, at war against the law of my true mind, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs. Now, the key to that is to recognize the simplistic that, first of all, to know that whenever I want to do good, evil is present with me. That's a mind-blowing statement. The second is that if I'm doing what I don't want to do, then it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Now sin, forget all your imagery of sin. Just forget it. Sin is the lie of the only lie. In one context, it's the lie of separation. And the only way that that sin can be made exceedingly sinful is to cause the separation to be exceedingly wide. And then, whack, my God, I've never been separated at all. Yeah. But if I try by my own strength to return and try to be not separate from anything, I don't care whether it's your wife or separation is separation because you perceive it as death. Then I try to do it, I try to do this, I fast, I pray, I read the Bible, I quit masturbating, I don't care what it is. You've bought the lie. You haven't agreed with your adversary. You've tried to resist evil. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight is whenever that propensity comes up in your mind, and it will because there's some ghosts left, let it flow to the cross. He's both the lamb and the lion for a reason. He's the lamb that's slain. And in us, it's the lamb that's... We are slaughtered daily. But the lion is the resurrected life. That's as sure more sure than any substance on earth. But it's faith that provides the resurrection, that realizes the resurrection.
Yeah, it's like the difference between the verbs of being are extremely important. The difference between doing something and being something.
Amen.
Yeah, that if you take action, if you're anywhere outside of a verb of being,
then you know you're deceived.
You're automatically in sin.
And you know you're being deceived. If you think there's anything to do, you're being deceived. I mean, that's.
You know, just for a moment when you were talking, I had this image of me hearing this, you know, hearing the accuser and me saying, I am crucified, but this, I could imagine this desire in me of the mercy seat, of wanting to run to the mercy seat. And like, I don't feel like I've ever had that connection.
Right.
That real connection within me before of wanting to just flee to the mercy seat, you know, in response to that.
That's why, you know, where it says you are seated with Christ, Christ's only sitting one place. He's on the mercy seat. But can you see how insidious it's so subtle. It's the same way the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity is simply your death, his life. Mm-hmm. Never a do.
Now,
amen.
Let me try one thing. I think I might finally have caught on to something here. He said we all stay here because we're seeking for something for ourselves. And I was, you know, the thing that I've been seeking is, you know, part of the fruits of the Spirit, specifically peace, just be at peace with myself for once, you know, as well as everything that's around me. But as long as I perceive that I lack that, I'll try to do something about it. And anytime I don't perceive I lack it, I had it anyway. And that's true of all the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. And the reason he says that's the reason that Paul said, and I guess whoever Paul in Hebrews, you know, he said about, he was talking about the priesthood of Melchizedek. He said, I have many things to say about it, but I cannot because you are dull of hearing. He didn't say dull of seeing or dull of understanding. He said dull of hearing. For what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. Automatic. Mm-hmm. Now, he said, for when the time is that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you the first principles. You know, because your senses haven't been exercised to discern good and evil, soul, spirit. You still operate in the soul realm. And as long as you operate in the soul realm, then you can't possibly teach.
It's a scripture about where it says, respond, I don't know if it's Paul talking about responding or resisting evil with good.
First Corinthians.
It's like that idea of responding to soul stuff with soul stuff is, you know, just
render
soul
no,
stuff.
Yeah, render no man evil for evil, you know, or no situation evil. But evil, but it's...
And if you see evil
as soul,
as the soul, and the only good is spirit, then to respond, you know, with spirit to soul stuff just...
Wipes, you know, it out.
Yeah. Put coals of fire on Satan's head.
O Lord our God, other masters besides you have ruled over us. But we, from this point forward, will acknowledge and mention your name only. They, the former tyrant masters, are dead, They shall not live and reappear. They are now powerless ghosts. They shall not rise and come back. Therefore you have visited and made an end of them, and caused even every memory of them, every trace of their supremacy, every trace of their being, to perish. They won't even be ghosts anymore. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of thy land. The kingdom of God is within you. Lord, when they were in trouble and distress, they sought and visited you. They poured out a prayerful whisper, and your chastening was upon them. Like a woman with child drawing near the time of her delivery is in pain and writhes and cries out in her pangs, so have we been before you at your presence, O Lord. We have been with child, as it were. We have been writhing and in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth only wind. I'm not going to say what I said before, I promise you. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world are not yet born. Your dead, however, shall live, O Lord. The bodies of our dead shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is the dew of sparkling light. And the earth, supernatural dew, and the earth shall cast forth the dead with your body. For the land of the shades of the dead you will let your people rise. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's wrath is past. For behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place to punish the iniquities of the earth. Yeah, I don't know. But the point is that the Lord's, when they're destroyed, they're ghosts for a little bit, and then soon even their memory shall perish. Mm-hmm. It's all a matter of just if you can say, okay, I agree, you can tempt me, you can test me any way you want. It's your ground. I mean,
In that context, there's something to sing that the trial of faith is precious.
But it doesn't have. My point to you is, the trial of faith isn't time dependent. It's obedience dependent. And obedience simply means here under. Now, this is God. Hallelujah. I rest in you.
Amen.
It'll kill you. But it's supposed to. His life, his resurrection is revealed. All this means, everything we said is just, it's a vehicle by which you present your body the living sacrifice.
It's better if it kills you, because to just be in a coma when you're not, there's no resurrection.
There's nothing. Take it, big guy.
Thank you.